Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, where it's all about making the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5 and building a business and life you love, all while doing it your way. I'm your host, Amanda Bolin. Let's get started. Hello, my beautiful She Did It Her Way listeners. Today we are back with another fantastic episode and with a fantastic guest, Christine McAllister, who is the founder of lifewithpassion.com. I'm so excited to have her on here. This has been a long time coming, and I think we just spent probably 15 minutes just talking back and forth, and I don't even know what we talked about, but I'm so excited to continue the conversation and bring this to you guys this week. Christine, welcome to She Did It Her Way.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited.
Yay. All right. Well, tell my listeners, just like we always do, anytime someone comes on, tell us in your own words what it is that you do, and then let's back up and hear your story as to how you got to where you are today.
Today, I am a business coach for high achieving women who want to quit and stay out of the 9 to 5 and make 6 figures in business. So we have a couple things in common.
We do. And I love it because it's definitely right up the alley for so many women tuning in and listening to the podcast. They are looking to how to make that ultimate leap, right? And leave their 9 to 5 and be able to do what they're doing, maybe what they're doing in their corporate, but do it on their own. Or maybe they're going to pivot and do something else and build this business online, giving the freedom of location independent and all that good stuff. But tell us, walk us through your journey of how you got to where you are today, because I think that is really, I love the stories, and the stories share so much and paint a picture for, I know, my listeners to say like, oh my gosh, I have that in common too. And we can find inspiration from other people's stories and journeys. So tell us how you got started and what that looked like.
Absolutely. I grew up wanting to be a veterinarian. I was and am animal obsessed. And so that was always my plan. I'm a planner. I'm an oldest. I'm a type A. I'm a high achiever. And that was true until I got to junior year and took AP bio. And when I had to skip the day that we were doing a dissection, which I won't mention because it's really gross, I realized that maybe I should rethink the whole veterinary school thing if I couldn't even deal with that. So what I decided to study instead was media communication. And I was on track to be a television or film producer. And I was going to move to one of the coasts, LA or DC. And I had gone to grad school for that as well. But I realized that if I was going to do that, I knew I could succeed at it. But I realized that I was going to be giving up my life. Like, I was going to be continuing basically to live as a poor grad student and working all the time and proving myself in like a very, very difficult industry. And I was kind of ready to start my life. But I didn't really know what that was going to look like until, out of the blue one day, I got a call from my alma mater asking me to come and teach undergrad. And I said, no, thank you, goodbye. But because that had not been like anywhere in the realm of what I thought I wanted to do with my life, what I thought I enjoyed, any of that. And so they were persistent and said, well, just come give it a year and try it. And so at the age of 23, I became an undergraduate professor teaching students I had been in class with before grad school.
Oh my gosh.
It was wild and far outside of what I ever pictured for myself. There were parts of it that I enjoyed, but I knew it wasn't ultimately for me. So I worked after that. I worked for several years as a career counselor at a university, ironically, like helping place students in their dream internships and jobs while not loving my own. But what I was doing that whole time was building my side business. And at that time, like from the day I started working full time, I was building my side business. I was producing online media websites mainly at the time, and then starting with social when that became a thing for businesses. I did that for 5 years on the side until I finally quit my job in 2010, and I really had been scared the whole time. Like, I knew I wanted out. I was unhappy, but I was blaming it on not having a plan. But the truth is, when I look back, it was just that I was scared I was going to fail. And when I did quit my job, I replaced my income in the first month out of my job.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Okay. Well, so you've had, actually, I'm going to pause there and want to unpack it a little bit. And so you were working basically 2005 to 2010, 5 years on the side of your full-time job, building this business. And then you quit in 2010. And then when in 1 month, you replaced your income.
Yes.
What had you gotten to that point? What was it about when you made that leap that you attribute to the fact that you replaced your income within the first month?
Well, honestly, I think I could have done it much sooner. Mm. It was very easy for me at the time. I didn't believe in myself. When I quit, I had to figure out a way to replace my income, right? It wasn't an option. Like, didn't have a bunch of savings. I wasn't like, oh, I'll be fine for 6 or 12 months. Like, not necessarily the way that, you know, a lot of people say to do things. I quit and then I was like, well, got to figure out how to make that money. Okay. And then it was reaching out to people and actually letting them know that I was available. It was like they were just waiting for me to let them know I had space and bandwidth. Mm-hmm. Because my business, that business was built entirely on referrals. It was an online marketing agency that I never marketed except through referrals.
I know, because that was something we were talking about before pressing record. We were talking about in the virtual green room is so much that when getting started, it can be this, it doesn't have to require this massive website. It doesn't have to require these robust, sophisticated tools to get started. All it can take is simply just crafting an email and sending it to your network. And what you had experienced is just, it's like these people were waiting for you. And yes. I think when we can change that thought from probably being scared and thinking, who's going to work with me? Who's going to want to purchase my services? Changing that one thought from that to, oh my gosh, people are just waiting for me to email them, inspires completely different action because it's a completely different thought. So even just changing that thought process will help you as tuning in to get you into action. So I love that you shared that. Okay, continue. Sorry. I wanted to point that out because I think it's so important.
I agree with you 100%. And we were also talking about how you and I have both been telling like our audiences forever, don't do a website until you're already making sales. Like, do not get stuck in that, mm-hmm. Oh, I can't sell because I don't have a website thing, right?
Right.
It's so important. I have an entrepreneurial lawyer friend who says there are only two things you need to be in business. Number one, a way to get paid. And number two, a client agreement.
Mm-hmm. Done.
And I love that. And I completely agree.
So perfect.
That was pretty much all I had. You know, I was determined to let the business pay for itself. And so I borrowed an extra laptop. And it was really old and clunky and a PC, and I'm a Mac girl, but I made it work. And I did that full time for the next 5 years. And I got to travel. I worked with clients all over the country, helping them generate leads for high ticket sales. I had a really specific niche within the horse industry because I loved horses, and I, along the way, like managed to get my own first horse and then other horses, which I dreamed of my whole life. And so I was getting to hang out with these people who had this shared interest, and it was a really natural know, like, and trust factor for them, right? Because they knew I understood horse terminology and what they were after and all of those things. So I grew that, and it was fine. I had replaced my income. I was free of the job. I got to travel and do work I enjoyed, but I knew deep down that there was another level for me, that I had this desire to be famous, frankly, and to make a really big impact on the world with that visibility. I'm an INFJ on the Myers-Briggs, and so we are teachers, counselors, advocates, helpers, right? I'm an Enneagram too. So I've always been trying to help and empower people. Mm. So I was doing that in a way with online marketing, right? Of course, like taking these small business owners and making them visible and their amazing, you know, what they had to offer. Getting it shared all over the world. I knew there was another level. I was comfortable enough, though, that I did not pursue that next level until I went through something that totally rocked my world. And that was that in early 2015, I was expecting my first baby. and I had had a perfect pregnancy, and I had had 2 baby showers, and I had put the car seat in the car and had gone home to put my feet up and wait to go into labor. And at one of the doctor appointments that you have a bunch of them right at the end of your pregnancy, at one of those, I went in and suddenly there was no heartbeat.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
So
wow.
I didn't know if I was having a boy or a girl. We were going to be surprised, but that set into motion a flurry of events, which resulted in that same day, me checking into the hospital to be induced to deliver this baby that had already passed away. So, yes, it was a profound trauma, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think that I knew anyone who had been through this. I didn't know it was a thing that could happen
right
at the end of a perfect pregnancy, right? If she had been born even 3 months before, she could have survived in the NICU. Like, there's no explanation. They never found out what had happened or why.
Wow.
But in the aftermath of that grief, and as I began to like look around at sort of this shattered worldview that I had of how I thought the way life was supposed to go, I realized that this loss, the loss of my daughter Maeve, was going to define me one way or another, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I could see 2 very clear paths for myself. One was like numbing out and locking myself in my bedroom. And the other was finding a way to make some kind of meaning out of this that could help others. And I chose the latter. And out of that came this exploration of what's my zone of genius? How can I best show up in the world? Who do I most want to help? How do I go to the next level? It was the first time in my life that I decided to join my own a group coaching program. I had always been like, I got to figure out how to do it on my own and for free, right? Until that point, which is part of the reason it took me 5 years to leave my job.
Right. Well, and even on that part, I think there's majority of people, we kind of all go through that phase. And sometimes that phase lasts longer than, you know, some other people, whatever. But now I think when you get on the other side, you realize how valuable your time is. And so you're willing to invest money to get the answer you need faster and to get the results you want quicker.
Yes. 100%.
And that's why having a coach or investing in an online program is worth it, because even though when it's in the beginning of investing in programs and coaches at the start and it's a little uncomfortable, you get used to it because you see the results of how much time you save, how much you actually accomplish, how much you get done. So I'm right there with you. It took me years to get over my ego to be like, I'm just going to invest the money and have someone help me do what I need to do versus trying to piecemeal it together for free 99.
Yes, exactly. All the audiobooks in the library from old white dudes hadn't gotten me what I wanted. So maybe there was somebody else who could help me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So in 2015, as a result of getting that support and doing this work, I launched Life with Passion, and I realized that the person I take a stand for is I think like most of us, the woman who feels stuck, right? Who knows that she has these gifts and talents, has no idea how to do it, is freaked out about it, and wants to get free. And so I've dedicated my working life to helping those women all over the world to quit and stay out of their jobs.
I love it. Well, okay. So, and thank you for sharing that, especially the experience that you went through with your daughter Maeve, and you know, being so vulnerable to bring that on and air it with thousands of people. So thank you for doing that. And I know that listeners are tuning in and grateful for it as well. So in 2015, you had this moment where you decided that you were going to commit to helping high achieving women start their business, find life with passion. Talk to us about that pivot in the sense that you went from digital marketing, marketing agency, online marketing, to then coaching women. How did you decide what you wanted your offerings to be? Are they the same today as they were when they started out? Or has that changed, and how has that changed?
Yeah, that's a great question. What I did was I had read The Big Leap. I had fallen in love with the book. We were talking in my group coaching program about finding your zone of genius. And I can remember being on a call and being like, what's my zone of genius? I feel like I'm beating my head against the wall, but it's not coming out. And my coach saying, I'm pretty sure that's not the way you identify your zone of genius, Christine. And I was like, well, how do I then? Right? So the approach that I took was, let me notice the parts of my marketing business that I love the most. Mm. Right? So I was working with clients in a really holistic way, not just going, hey, give me all your copy and I'll make you an ad or make you a page or whatever. I was sitting down with them, understanding their needs, strategizing with them about how to use the tools of a website and social media to accomplish their goals. And so I had this literally like, well, not literally, but a light bulb moment with one of my clients where we're talking about how to grow their business. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is my thing. I'm really good at making things super simple, cutting through all the overwhelm and the noise.
Yes.
And then helping them figure out a clear, simple plan.
Love it.
And so it was like, well, what if I could do that all the time instead of organizing photos and running Facebook ads and whatever? What if I could do that all the time and write? Because I love to write and I would write all the copy for my clients. And so I decided to start building up this business, helping people with their businesses. And then I was having a hard time finding my niche, even though turns out, like for most of us, it was right in front of my nose. And I can remember another coach asking me, well, Christine, who do you take a stand for? And being like an impact-driven person, I immediately had an answer. Well, I take a stand for women who feel stuck in their 9-to-5s and want to get free.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And then, of course, over the last several years, I've also worked with women who are already out, never want to have to go back, want to scale because my business has grown, right? So I can teach them things along the way. And as an introvert, I started with one-on-one services. I love to go deep and I love to provide support and accountability. Over the past 5 years, I have done everything, right? I've written a best-selling book. I have info products. I've run group programs. But I had my third daughter this summer. So I have this past summer. Summer 2019. Mm-hmm. And so I have two living daughters at the time of this recording. They're 3.5 and 7 months. Mm-hmm. And yes. So when I had my third daughter, I decided on maternity leave, because there's nothing that brings you clarity like taking a break from your business.
Yeah.
I asked myself this question over and over and over, like, how could this be easier? How can I create the biggest impact with like the most simplicity, doing what I'm good at? And what I decided out of that question was to just do like the opposite of what everyone says to scale your business and only offer one-on-ones for the first year of her life. So I redesigned my one-on-one to be higher touch, but require less of my computer time.
Hmm.
And I just let everybody know, hey, this is the only way that you can work with me. Like, I have friends who do a lot of other things, but I'm a one-on-one ninja. And so if you're wanting someone to hold your hand and kick your butt, like, I'm your girl, and that's it.
Where, so then you decided for the first year of her life to do high touch, less of a computer, which I love that. And then you go and you tell everyone, share with us, how did you, because I know that you have like your half day intensive. You've also got a 6-month mentorship. Talk to us about how you set goals or the sales process to getting someone, getting a potential client to say yes and sign up for a half day intensive. What does that look like?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And actually, like, I have my half day intensive on a wait list right now, to be transparent, because I have to breastfeed every 3 hours and my half day intensive is 3 hours long. Mm. unless someone wants to watch me putting on a pump, like that's not happening. So I realized like that didn't feel good. And so like I have a wait list for that, but all I'm doing right now is 6 month one-on-one. And the way I have a really different sales process than most people, I think again, because of my personality type is different than most. They say INFJs, the Myers-Briggs people say INFJs are like 1 or 1.5% of the population. And so what I have found over these 15 years of business building is that traditional methods, as much as I want them to, because I'm super driven and I love to be organized, they typically don't work for me. Mm-hmm. And I typically get really, really like SMART goals are like the stupidest thing I could ever set for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get really attached and wrapped around the axle and obsessed and like want to check my email all the time, want to check my notifications all the time, waiting for people to book calls. And guess what? That is not the way that I get people to book calls.
Yeah. So, and can we pause right there just for a moment? Because I'm so glad you shared that. And because for some people, that type of structure when it comes to goals and achieving certain outcomes doesn't work. And that is totally okay. And we've had guests, I've shared that sometimes there's you learn things about where you're most aligned in terms of goal setting. And sometimes when you're so focused on a specific outcome, you're energetically blocking so much more that could come in.
Yes.
If you just live in the present moment and yes, stop focusing so much on, I got to get this number, I got to get this number, I got to get this number. And because what you persist will resist and what you resist persists. And so it's this balance between setting an intention and letting it go and trusting the process and showing up in alignment and feeling good in what you're doing and having fun with what you're doing and being in that vibration of abundance to welcome, you know, the opportunities in. So I'm just so glad you share that, because I just so want people to know that just because it works one way for one person,
yes,
doesn't mean that that is the rule. It doesn't mean that there's not other ways to go about setting goals and to doing it. It doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. If it's not, you know, maybe 70% of people out there, that sort of SMART framework structure works. And for 30% of people, it's very intuitive, feeling based.
Yes.
And
yes,
neither way is right or wrong. It's just what is right for you.
100%.
Sure. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you for sharing your take on it, because now I feel like, oh, great, we can talk about this so much more.
Yes.
It is what I have realized is, I mean, I only realized this because I kept going, I'm going to have a 10K month. And I wouldn't have a 10K month because I every day was approaching it with that kind of like pressured energy. And people kept talking about concepts like detachment. And I was like, but then nothing will happen. But then I'll turn into, you know, a lazy slob who sits on the couch and drinks all day. Right.
It's like, no, you won't.
Right.
I mean, maybe you will, but you know yourself well enough.
That person. Yeah. Like that has never been me. I have to practice playing. I have to practice resting. Right. I want to go, 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 go. So my like life's work and my energetic work, my spiritual work is actually, like you said, learning to trust and surrender and let go. And if you told me that 10 years ago, I would have rolled my eyes and said, you're a weirdo. But now I have so much evidence that that's the case. And I really believe that like my work as a coach is to help people build businesses based around what I call their three P's, which is their personality, their preferences, and their passions. And to your point, everyone is different. And so there is no cookie cutter. Oh, just buy my program and you'll hit 6 figures in 6 minutes. Like, no, that's not how you build a business that you love. And that's not even how you build a business in general.
Wait, you can't get 6 figures in 6 minutes. You can't? No.
I mean, maybe you can.
But another thing too that you had said about the 6 figure and I want to make 10,000 every month, it kind of goes, it perpetuates this hamster wheel and this treadmill of this fictitious number that you are most likely, and not for everyone, but most likely, and I've been guilty of this, that you're choosing a number because of the way that it sounds,
yes,
rather than any form of intention or process of getting there. And yep, it's this I just want to, I'm going to make multi-six figures for the sake of making multi-six figures. Like, but like why? And really thinking about, and one of the things that I teach in the Ultimate Leap Accelerator is figuring out how much do you actually need? And let's start there.
Yes.
And when you have a year of revenue in your business, then let's use that to inspire your next year's goal instead of pulling a number out of the hat and thinking, well, this sounds fancy, or I want to hit six figures. Like, let's go about it in a way that feels good and attainable. And it's not this just random number.
Yes. Right. Because when we approach our businesses as with an employee mindset, which let's face it, most of us do because most of us have had jobs or were in jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been trained since the time we were in school or earlier to behave like good little employees. And then we try to become an independent entrepreneur with that same employee mindset. We're just going to take the somebody tell me what to do, I don't know how to trust myself mentality and turn our business that we thought was going to give us freedom into something that feels like our job again and burn ourselves out because we don't know how to think any other way. Right. So mm-hmm. I love the way that you approach that in Ultimate Leap Accelerator, where it's like, let's look at what you actually need. Not like, well, I need this because it's the same as my salary, but what do I actually need? And mm-hmm. what basis am I starting from so that I can build this in a way that feels good and not wait to feel good until I hit that number, because then I won't feel good. I'll have another goal.
Right. Yes. And celebrating what is and what's coming in. Cause there's always this, and I know that we might be kind of going off of a little bit of tangent here, but I promise you we're going to land the plane or come back. But it's this, you know, making sure along the way that as your business is making money, if it's $200 a month, or if it's 2000 or 20,000, to recognizing the abundance and being grateful for that and knowing that things can take time, but things are building and things are happening. Like, that is a demonstration of financial abundance coming in. And if it's
yes.
this attitude of, oh, it's only $200. And again, I'm sharing this because this is how I used to look at it. And I had a big, like, taking some time to shift that. If instead of thinking, oh, it's only $200, thinking it, changing it and being like, oh my gosh, this is $200. This is amazing. This means that there's more where that came from. This means that it's working. This means that I am on my way, right? First, like, there's so many different ways that you can look at it.
Yes.
But yeah, I just, instead of pulling a number out of a hat for the sake of it, it's like, let's get really methodical and intentional and say, what do you need? What is a nice to have? And what is sort of this dream, right? And that can change for the next year. And nothing's ever set in stone. So
yeah, and taking that pressure off allows for room for magic and miracles, which is where it gets really fun.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Magic and miracles. Okay. So we talked about right now you're doing high touch programs 6 months at a time. So it's kind of like, would it be considered this sort of mastermind a little bit, but you're doing it one-on-one with individuals, right?
Yep. One-on-one. Although my clients always wind up like becoming best friends and buying from each other and hanging out. Two of them went to an Airbnb together last weekend in person. And so it's fun to watch the community, even outside of it being like an official mastermind, because I really do love that one-on-one, going really deep with people, but they always connect with each other as well.
Yeah, that is fantastic. That is amazing. And I just love that you are sharing this process of this, not only this process, but also I think it's important to note that, okay, so you have a way for people to work with you in a half day intensive, but even though you're not actively selling it, you still got a wait list. So you're capturing people.
Yep.
Cause that's the one thing too, that just because you're not actively selling something or something that's coming up, it's always such a good idea to create that wait list, to be building that list. And that's what, I mean, for example, with the Ultimate Leap Accelerator, even though we're currently going through it, because it's a live program, it's 6 weeks, we have a wait list for people to sign up because we're going to open doors again. And we're going to go through the program one more time before summer hits. And so you can always be actively building your email list with people that are eager and interested to purchase from you. So
exactly. Yes. 100%. Yeah.
So, so good. Let's talk about a little, so as you've been, we talked about your transition out of corporate and then now this in the pivot that you had in 2015. What is something you're currently working on, whether it's yourself or your business?
Ooh, well, there are a few things. So by the time this airs, my podcast that I've been working on since the fall, no one's ever asked me that, will be out.
Love it.
Yes. So I do too. And I have had such a passion for guest podcasting. I've been on over 100 shows now.
Oh my gosh.
Some of my best friends have come from it. And I have this process that I'm like super proud of. And that is, you know, I think unique to how people approach podcast guesting. And I never felt like I had clarity on how I wanted to do my own show, even though people were telling me, you should do your own, you should do your own, until I went on maternity leave. And then I thought, okay, now I know how to do this on my own terms in a way that doesn't feel overwhelming. So we've been recording stuff since July, and now it's just a matter, I've recorded everything live on video and then on Facebook Live, and we're getting ready to turn it into a podcast. So that feels really, really good and exciting. And also, now that I am done being pregnant, something that I have had on my list for a long time and that I see being a huge part of where I'm going is speaking. So I love it. I was a professor. I was a musical theater nerd. I love being in front of people. And I love teaching. And so I spoke at a retreat in Chicago in the fall. I'm speaking about podcast guesting in Orlando in March. And I've got another thing and here and there. And so I'm starting to like book these opportunities where I get to travel with my family, take them along, which is a huge value of mine, to fun places. And that just feels like the fulfillment of a longtime dream for me that just hasn't really been that practical with my life looking the way that it has until now. So I'm really excited that 2020 is bringing both of those things.
Ooh, yay. I can feel the energy and the excitement, and totally super curious about the strategy. I mean, over 100 podcast episodes. Can you tell us just a little bit about your strategy? Give us a sneak peek.
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to. So my goal with these is using it to increase your impact, your income, of course, and your network. So I think that what makes my approach really unique, based on what hosts have told me, is that I really seek to make it about them instead of myself, and to understand, like, who am I talking to? What do you have going on in your business? And how can I make this like one of the best episodes you've ever had? Because I think that so often people come on the show to promote their book or their thing, like, oh, aren't you lucky to have me? But I have an appreciation for how much work, maybe it's my background in production, I don't know, how much work goes into building a following, building an audience, editing every episode, intros, outros, uploads, graphics, you know, promotion, and the blood, sweat, and tears of creating this community that you care about so much, not to mention the financial investment. And so I really consider it an honor for you to have me on your show, because you're basically endorsing me to your audience. Like, hey, meet Christine. I think she's awesome. So you should think she's awesome too, right? Mm-hmm. So when I go on, I want to form, like, this starts with the pitch and the research that I do and the connections that I make. I want everything about the process before, during, and after to feel like they know how honored I was, you know how grateful I am, and you got something really, really valuable for your audience. Not like, well, I talk about that in the book, so if you want to know, go buy my book, right? Like, I'm not here for that. I want you to be able to learn and take something away and feel that, like, I genuinely love, again, having a one-on-one conversation, and that I love this medium so much because it's a one-on-one conversation that gets to reach thousands of people.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I mean, especially everything that you said, from blood, sweat, and tears and investing in everything that goes into podcasting. I know as a host, it's so important for me to qualify and make sure that I'm bringing on guests that are in alignment, that are inspiring, that can provide value for my listeners, for you guys, because it's so important. You guys are giving your time and your energy to the show that it's so important to me that anything that comes on, or any, and not anything that comes on, a person that comes on or content that's shared is relevant content that you guys are going to be able to get value from. So it's all about protecting you guys. And as a host, I mean, sometimes you have to make tough decisions. Sometimes you do interviews that don't launch because you've done the interview and you're like, I'm not putting that out in front of my audience because to me, it's not up to the standard that I have for protecting them in providing value. And yeah, that's amazing. And it's such great advice, Christine, for anyone who is wanting to get on more podcast shows and coming at it to be so grateful to be a guest on that show. So that's amazing. I really appreciate you sharing that. There is, I think at this point, I would love for you to share some of kind of like a rapid fire round, if that's okay with you. I'm just going to ask some quick questions. Yeah. What is something in your life that is a non-negotiable?
Journaling.
Yes. Journaling is so good. There's something about pen to paper that you can't get from
there. Is. There's this quote that says, I only know what I think when I write about it. And I find that to be very true.
Ooh, I like that. I love it. What's one or two of your favorite books? And they don't have to be business books.
I really, really love The Big Leap. I feel like when I listen to that, I felt like seen for the first time, maybe in a long time, maybe ever, just understanding that, yes, I still had unrealized potential. Yes, there were reasons why I had held myself back. And yes, it was still possible for me. I feel like that was really, really pivotal. And then of course the phrase zone of genius comes from that book as well. And that has been really important every step of developing my business, from like identifying what it was to now going like, how can I only do things that are in my zone of genius in my business every day, and feeling like I'm actually getting there and that feeling really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Such a great book. What is the best $100 or less purchase someone can make in their business?
You know, I feel like my ability to receive money changed 15 years ago when I decided to invest in FreshBooks. So they were a really young company at the time. I was obviously brand new, and I had been sending out my freelance invoices using Excel. And what was happening is that I hated Excel. There was no Google Sheets, and I had to like boot up the PC on my Mac, and it took forever. And I would postpone creating invoices because I didn't want to open Excel, and that is like not great for business, right? But then it was that whole story of
you got to get paid,
right? So, but I was like, but it's free. So then when I finally paid the whatever, nothing. Very, very inexpensive for FreshBooks, even though it felt like a big deal to me at the time, when people could pay me automatically and I could just send it, and it was clean and it was pretty and it felt like the rest of my pretty programs that I liked. It was a revolution for my mind. It was like, oh my gosh, this is the best money I've ever spent. So I've been very loyal to them because of the way that they changed my ability to receive money.
Yes, I totally agree with that, because especially, I mean, you need, it's so worth having a software that's keeping track, whether it's FreshBooks, whether it's QuickBooks, whatever that looks like, to keep track of everything that's coming in and out. And that was something like early on when I was doing a ton of freelance work. I mean, you have invoices, you have receipts, everything's going, I mean, you don't want to have to spend time to think about, did I get that invoice date? You want a software to think about it, because if it's left to humans, one time I didn't even pay attention that I didn't get paid for an entire week. And then 3-4 months later, I realized, wait a second, I don't think I ever got paid on that invoice. I mean, I could have missed out on thousands of dollars. And so definitely worth the investment to dig in and get, whether it's FreshBooks or QuickBooks, whatever that looks like. It's so, so good. Well, this has been absolutely amazing and such a pleasure and so fun. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can my listeners find you, connect with you, and just read more about what you've got going on?
Yeah. So I am over on Instagram at LifeWPassion, and I also have a workbook that can help you focus if you're feeling overwhelmed. It's called the 5-Minute Focus Formula to help you get unstuck and make some traction in 5 minutes a day. And you can grab that at lifewithpassion.com/focus.
Nice. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head on over to shedidithherwaypodcast.com where you can access the entire vault of She Did It Her Way podcast episodes and more information all about how to make the ultimate leap from your 9-to-5. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you headed on over to iTunes and left a review letting me know what you love about the She Did It Her Way podcast. Until next time, keep doing it your way.